Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. TD is in the house. How we doing, Teron Davenport?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
We're doing fantastic. The gauntlet of the season for the Titans right now, 2-0, having beaten the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, and the Rams, still on deck. Teron Davenport presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and Rental Works. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. And CraneWorks and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, everybody was excited after the Buffalo win, but then everyone had to kind of turn their attention to Kansas City, and everybody knew it was going to be some sort of a dogfight on Sunday. It was not. It was a blowout for the Titans. Maybe the best, most complete performance they've had in a long time, given the opponent, and now it's the Colts. How do you feel about the Titans after the domination of Kansas City and the way things are progressing this season?
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround going from the Bills game to the Chiefs game, and it's back-to-back wins over teams that are considered to be among the elite in the conference. Now, obviously, there's a lot of holes in what the Chiefs have done as far as defense, especially the turnovers on offense. It's been just terrible. But I still think it was a quality win. That was probably the most complete game, just in all three facets of the game. That was probably the most complete effort that you've seen from this Titans team, this season for sure. And I think really the defense is the area that should be focused on, just what they're able to do as far as getting pressure. 18 of those, in fact, while only blitzing one. And when you could rush your front four and drop seven into coverage, that's always going to be a good thing, especially against a team like the Chiefs. Now, it's going to be different this week because the Colts, as you know, they're getting Quentin Nelson back, possibly Braden Smith, you know, their right tackle. Eric Fisher is continuing to struggle, but he's still getting more games, you know, under his belt, so to speak. So the offensive line is much better. So I'm going to really focus on that matchup. I think that's really where the physicality starts and just what they want to do running the football. You got Jonathan Taylor behind that. I love the fact that I asked Jeffrey Simmons about that physicality, you know, and he said that's something that's obviously going to be there. And I asked him specifically about going against Quentin Nelson, and he said that it's always great to go against great players because that's the first step of really making yourself a great player, right, by doing well against another player who's really good. And he said that, you know, it's going to be a physical matchup, and it's not one that he predicts that he's going to lose.
The thing that's crazy about the Titans right now is, you know, it just popped into my head when we were talking earlier today. Three of the last 4 years, the Titans have made the playoffs on the last day of the season. Four of the last 4 years, the season has come down to the last day. The Titans have not comfortably gotten into the playoffs at any point over the last half decade. And yet it almost feels like for this team to truly turn the corner, yeah, that Kansas City game needs to almost be the standard of what they're capable of. And they really need to, when you look at the schedule and you see teams that they're probably on paper better than Indianapolis, that they've slipped up in the past, this needs to be the corner that they turn by starting to take care of those teams and stack up some wins.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It really comes down to being able to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, and at the very least be competitive with the teams that you're supposed to. The Bills game is an excellent example. You're supposed to, if you want to consider yourself among the AFC elite teams, you better at the very least compete with the Bills. Well, they beat them. You better be able to beat the reigning conference champions. Well, they dominated them to the point of that 3 points was the worst offensive output for the Chiefs since 2012 when the Broncos beat them 38-3. So I think you're seeing those things, but what they absolutely cannot do is turn around and lay an egg in Indianapolis. To your point about constantly over the last 2 years, right, having to clinch the playoffs in the final game, or even the division championship, this year should be different. Why? Because as a team, you want to always progress, right? So you went from a wild card team to a divisional champion, and unfortunately for them, you know, they went out in the first round of the playoffs. This year has to be the next step for them, and I know that's what they're looking for. And the biggest thing for that, a win over the Chiefs, or excuse me, the Colts this week, I think will really set them up, right? You're going to get a sweep of the best team in the division, right? Your biggest competitor in the division, because we know Jacksonville, the situation there is just a mess, right? And we know Houston is probably just as bad. So the Colts are really the only threat. So if you could get a sweep over them, a three-game lead, now you're really in the driver's seat. But at the same time, you don't want to go on the road consecutive times, right? So if you could stay right there with the Bengals, with the Ravens, with the Raiders, and the Bills, just as far as home field advantage, and have the road to the Super Bowl go through Nashville, that'd be all the better. Because I personally feel that Nissan Stadium is starting to become a home field advantage for the Titans.
Well, not only that, these games where the other teams bring in a bunch of fans, I don't know if you've noticed this, TD, they always leave unhappy. I mean, those, like, you know, I don't want to call them neutral site games, but those games against the big fan base teams, the Eagles went home unhappy, the Bills went home unhappy,
yeah.
The Chiefs fans twice have gone home unhappy, the Patriots fans went home unhappy. I mean, that seems to be, to your point, you know, it does seem like there's a home field advantage. I was joking. Well, I wasn't really joking. I was talking earlier today about the biggest thing about Thursday night football tonight between Arizona and Green Bay for me is, if I'm Arizona, I want no part of going to Lambeau Field in January with a dome team in Phoenix traveling up to, you know, Lambeau Field and having to play Aaron Rodgers. I mean, imagine that game in the snow. I'd much rather, if I got to play Green Bay again, them come to Arizona, and that's a big part of tonight's game. I think that's a big part of where we are with the Titans, which is, if they can win this game against the Colts, then I almost feel like the Colts will be so far in the dust that then you really can look at Buffalo and the Ravens and the Bengals and the Chargers and think to yourself, okay, how can you get at least two games in the playoffs at Nissan Stadium, mm-hmm. or that number one seed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very critical to get at least two games. But the thing that I've said about this team since, you know, 2019 is the fact that they're pack and play, right? Because when you have that physical mindset, and then you have a guy like Derrick Henry, you know, that could just – I mean, he could just – between him and the offensive line, like, that first drive, you could really just take every bit of air out of the stadium. Just by just consistently feeding Derrick Henry. And I saw a quote from Sean Merriman, and he said that, you know, Derrick Henry is really imposing his will. I'll say Derrick Henry and the offensive line are imposing their will on defenses. But he also said, when you devote your resources to stopping the run and it doesn't happen and he still just does what he has to do, it's completely deflating. And as a defensive player, and this is a guy that's been there and done that, he said there's nothing more deflating than trying to stop the run, devoting your resources to stopping the run and not being able to do it. So for me, I still think this team could go on the road and win because of that. But then if they match that with this defense that is beginning to, you know, kind of turn the corner, and some play action passing and that type of stuff, field positioning with Brett Kern, I think this team could beat most teams on the road. So, yeah, it's important to have games at Nissan Stadium, but if they have to hit the road, I think they'll be fine.
I think the other thing, too, is the road of who would come here if you got that number one seed. Like, remember a couple years ago when the Patriots were going to have the number two seed, and then they lost the Dolphins, so the Chiefs, you know, ended up getting that. And instead of having to host the Titans, then go to New England, then go to Baltimore, they got to play the Texans and the Titans at home because the Titans took care of their dirty work. And you don't know, you know, the Raiders could get hot and knock out a Joe Burrow or knock out a Lamar Jackson and you don't have to worry about him, or knock out a Buffalo and you don't have to worry about him, you know, in the playoffs as well. But I am with you. I mean, Derrick Henry, you could put Derrick Henry on Mars, hand him the football, and he'd be fine, and I wouldn't worry about that whatsoever. There is another element, TD, another element to the Titans that we all knew was big, but I'm not sure we knew it was this big. And how scared should the Colts be about it? We'll get to that coming up next here on the TD Power Hour. TD is with us. Get your text in for TD, 615-737-1025. I will make sure that we have a full segment for TD to hit your Titan questions as well. The TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire, freedomtireguys.com and by Craneworks and Rentalworks. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. Love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The NFL season is approaching. The halfway point is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook has a little something different to offer the Sunday night matchup between Dallas and Minnesota, because my friends at FanDuel are giving new customers 25-1 odds on any touchdown scored in the game. Period. You got to like Dak Prescott and that Dallas offense to go up and put up at least a touchdown, more like five, but definitely a touchdown. I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. And when you win, they say you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. Just sign up with the promo code JGM this week before the Sunday night matchup, and you could win $125 on a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code JGM so they know that I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in a designated offer market. Max bonus $125. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled within site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Ryan, you've got AJ coming off his best game yet. Julio back in the mix. Both of those guys missed big chunks of the last game of the Colts. How much will it help this offense having both of those guys ideally on Sunday?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously, they're huge playmakers for us, so having them out there is best case scenario. So, hopefully we can get them both out there and playing big for us. They made huge plays for us at different times, both of them throughout the season. So, hopefully we can lean on them again.
There you go. That was Ryan Tannehill. A lot of people saying, hey, the first time these two teams played, the Colts were injured. Well, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones got injured in the first game against the Colts. TD with us, the TD Power Hour, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. TD, sometimes you don't realize how much somebody means to you until they're gone. Mm. And the last 2 weeks, A.J. Brown has been back, and A.J. Brown has been on fire. And we knew that the Bills had a good defense, and the Titans scored 34 points, and A.J. was a big part of it. We knew the Chiefs had a bad defense, and the Titans scored at will on Kansas City in the first half, and A.J. was a big part of that. What have you seen in A.J. Brown's return and how much it has made Todd Downing better and made the offense better?
I'm not sure exactly what it is. Like, I can't put a finger on it. Tomorrow, if we get to talk to A.J., I'm going to ask him, because he just seems more comfortable catching the football. He's back to the way he was in the past, just as far as just being able to snap that ball out of the air. And that's actually what I asked Todd Downing about today, just was, what does he think of A.J. Brown's ability to accelerate through the catch, and how big is that for yards after catch ability? And he said that, you know, most of the guys that you see that do really well with yak are very confident as pass catchers. And he did admit, hey, they accelerate through the catch. And that confidence allows them to do that. So I think that's what we're seeing. Like I said, I don't know what it is that has him feeling so confident again. But it's really good to see, because now we're getting to, you know, witness this guy showcase just that elite ability that he has. And I still believe that he is the best receiver in the league as far as when the football is in his hands and making things happen. I mean, I've felt that way for 2 years now, and we could debate that as much as you want, you know what I mean? And I'll bring up points, but I think what you're seeing just with him coming back, his fearlessness, right, going across the middle, that's not really, an easy thing to do. And then him coming back and being able to do that, now you got a compliment to Derrick Henry, right? So when you devote so much to stopping Derrick Henry, you have to understand that, hey, you're going to pay for that. And A.J. Brown is showing that, to the tune of 15 receptions on 18 targets, 224 yards and one touchdown.
I look at the biggest thing, and I think A.J.'s got his confidence back. I think Tannehill's confidence with A.J. on the field is multiplied by 100. You know, we were talking about this, Caroline and I, the Jets game and the 7 sacks, and you know, how much of it was Tannehill's fault, how much was the line's fault, how much was Downing's fault, how much was the receiver's fault. Mm-hmm. And I go back to the touchdown throw, and I thought Tony Dungy did a great job on Sunday night of illustrating how Kansas City put everybody at the line.
Yeah.
And I think Tannehill just believes in AJ so much that AJ doesn't have to be open. He just knows that if he puts it where he's supposed to put it, AJ will find a way to get open. And I'm not sure he trusts the other guys like that, no matter how much he says he trusts the other guys like that.
You're talking about the fade in the corner of the end zone? That touchdown? Yeah. And I tell you another thing that's really good about that. And I don't know. I really love the small things, right? And seeing these guys work on stuff and watching it actually be carried over to the field. So earlier, right, in pregame, AJ Brown and Julio Jones, they're you know, kind of jogging between 5 to 10 yards down the field, just hand-to-hand combat, just knocking, subtle warding off. You know, receiver-wise, you don't say pushing off. You say you ward off, right? So you see them doing that subtly, just working to gain position on a fade, right, on an over-the-shoulder type catch. And Rob Moore is throwing the ball over their shoulders, and they're going back and forth doing that. Guess exactly what he did on that play and also the 42-yard fade. Those exact positioning, fighting for the football, tracking it over your shoulder and bringing it in. So for me, like seeing these small things lead up to something big, like that excites me. And that's another example of just the way, because remember before I talked to you about how I love what these coaches do on the field during practice and how that transfers the games. That's another example of that. But really, that confidence, right? And as you said, you get one-on-one coverage on the outside. Like, I don't care who it is. I believe Ryan Tannehill is going to believe A.J. Brown is going to make the play against that guy. Now, we'll see a really big-time test of that against the Rams with Jalen Ramsey.
I can't wait for that, by the way.
Yeah. And I tell you this, you know, I talked to A.J. About Ramsey a year ago, and he told me that he and DK Metcalf, though, that's the guy that they talk about a lot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the one corner. But bringing it back to this Colts game and what we saw against the Chiefs, it's one-on-one coverage. Tannehill's going to try to attack that, whether it's a fade or if it's a slant. And that play action and A.J.'s ability to get off the line, right, and get that instant inside position on those crosser routes, the glance route, I think that's another thing that really gives Tannehill the confidence. He's a big target. He knows that, you know, if I put that thing top of the numbers to face mask, it's going to be a completion almost for sure, and I'm going to get some free yards on it. If I was Tannehill, I would go that direction too.
How worried would you be if you're Matt Eberflus? Every time you play Derrick Henry, he runs for 100 yards against you, even though no one else apparently can run for 100 yards. Although the kid,
Elijah Mitchell,
he did last week. But I mean, you couldn't call any other plays in that game, especially with Garoppolo. Goodness gracious! But Derrick Henry runs all over him. AJ has been kind of a Colt killer. And last year when they played in Nashville, AJ dropped a touchdown early on in the game that I think could have totally changed, you know, the favor one way or another. I just think that. And I still think we're waiting for Julio to get 100% healthy before you can say, okay, now it's fine. You want to put Jalen Ramsey on AJ, then I'm going to throw to Julio, you know, or give to Derek or whatever. But if I'm the Colts, that Colts secondary is very suspect. Oh, yeah. And I have a hard time believing AJ Brown shouldn't have his way with them on Sunday.
There's something about that matchup against Xavier Rhodes. I don't know if you've noticed, but those guys, they're very back and forth. I don't know what it is, but there's some type of chippiness, you know, that goes on there. But let me ask you this. How many 100-yard games do you think AJ Brown has against the Colts? Just off the
Two.
Top.
Two.
Zero.
He didn't have 100 last year in that game where they scored 48 points at halftime or what? I mean, just
he had 98 yards, but oh. I mean, technically it's 100. You know what I mean? But yeah. Still, I think it's about time that he breaks that plateau against the Colts. But I mean, to your point, he is a Colts killer, and I'm not going to go back and box score scout. I mean, he's made some really big time. You look at the 69-yard catch he had in that game, you know, for a touchdown. So obviously, you know, there is a mismatch there for the Titans. They're going to have to take advantage of it. The other thing to think about with this, right? Julian Blackmon is not playing. That hurts the Colts defense in two ways, because he is one of the few defensive backs that you see is just absolutely willing. Hey, look, man, I don't care if I end up on SportsCenter. I'm going against Derrick Henry. I'm going to try to bring him down. That's the mindset that he has. But then not only that, he has very good range, right? So now if you decide to go single high, right, and you have that man coverage on the outside, you don't have a guy that's going to get over top. Because Andrew Sandejo, he's not doing that. You know what I mean? He's not going to get over top in time. So that's something else to focus on that I think is just kind of floating under the radar. This Titans passing game should really do well against the Colts.
TD, how important has Michael Pruitt been? And do you think that they can use him even more than they're using him now? Because I kind of feel like, I mean, Pruitt would probably be the worst starting tight end in the league if he was the Titans' number one starter. But at the same time, like, I think he's still pretty good, like, for what they're going to ask him to do.
Why are you such a savage talking about these people sometimes, man?
Well, like, if you're the 32nd best in the league, that's still good.
It just cracks me up. But, no, I mean, he obviously wouldn't be a top 10 starter in the league. But if you look at some of these catches he's made,
love Pruitt.
Look at the Seahawks game. You know, he really, you look at that one part in the third quarter, like, he and Jamal Adams, he was like, hey, come on, man, bring it. I don't care what you got behind you statistically and contract-wise. I'm going to show you that I belong on the field with you. And he actually won that battle, you know, over three or four snaps. The catch that I really like is the one against the Bills on the seam route, you know, where he went up and grabbed that Tannehill pass. It was just a little bit off, but he made the play. I think Pruitt has been a big-time part of this offense. And, you know, honestly, just being able to play H-back, right, and then also line up detached, line up in line. I mean, bringing him back was a big-time thing for this offense.
Mm-hmm. Last thing on the offense for you, TD.
Yeah.
How concerned are you with the Tannehill interceptions?
I know you might have lost some hair after that one against the Chiefs. I think, you know, some of it is definitely accuracy. Some of it is panicking. But I think these things can be fixed. But here's the problem. He's thrown more, six interceptions this year? I believe he only threw five last year. So he's already.
He's got five this year. He had six last year.
Okay, so reverse the numbers. Yeah. And we're talking about through seven games. So that doesn't really factor in with, you know, this mindset, right? The ball control side of it, the winning the turnover margin, that doesn't really factor into the mindset that Mike Vrabel, you know, wants this team to play with. So it is going to have to get fixed because there are, like, in the playoffs, you know, you have a turnover like that one against the Bills, right, where he was late on the throw and overthrew it and Jordan Poyer swooped in and picked it up. Or you have the one where he panicked against the Chiefs and you know, it was an ill-advised throw. He didn't take the sack like he probably should have. That's bad situational football. Those are the type of things that can be a turning point in the playoffs. So you do want to avoid those. I would say this, get it out your system now so that way you don't have that come January.
Yeah, I feel like the hallmark of Ryan Tannehill has been ball safety.
Exactly.
Like Brett Favre, Brett Favre could go out and throw the ball to the other team three times, and it's fine because Brett throws six touchdowns to balance it out, and I don't feel like Tannehill's ever been kind of that kind of guy. So, it's just a little concerning.
It should be. It is a little concerning because, like I said, it doesn't factor into the equation. Like the way the Titans play football, they need to win the turnover margin. Like it's almost essential, you know what I mean, because of the way that they play. You can't afford to give the opposition extra chances to score because that's just not the way they're built. You know, they're built to wear you down, grind it down, control time of possession, right? You look at each week, they're pretty much leading in time of possession with the exception of maybe the Cardinals game and the Seahawks game maybe. But, you know, those are things that you have to control in order to be able to win, and turning the football over is not going to help it.
One thing that's going to help the Titans win, if Bud Dupree plays like Bud Dupree did on Sunday. But not only that, some wild Harold Landry stats that I want TD's opinion on. And I have a potential contract offer to Harold Landry. And I want to know what TD thinks of it. We'll get to that coming up next. The TD Power Hour presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include a half-off gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slim, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys and Crane Works and Rental Works. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to thegamenashville.com. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. TD, I was looking through the notes, the supplemental notes that the Titans PR team put out.
They do a good job with that.
They do a fantastic job. And I was stunned by this headline. And I'm sure you probably saw the same one I saw. Landry could match or exceed Javon Kearse's pace through 8 games. Mm. I saw that and I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Mm. What? Here you go. Fourth-year outside linebacker Harold Landry III tallied a sack last week against Kansas City, bringing his total to 7.5. Landry ranks second in the NFL only behind Myles Garrett, who has 9.5, and he is only 1.5 sacks from matching his previous career high of 9 in 2019. Yep. This week at Indianapolis, Landry can register his 5th consecutive game with at least 1 sack to tie the best of his career, and additionally, a half sack would make Landry the first Titan since Javon Kearse to tally 8 or more sacks in the team's first 8 games of a season. So, Kearse did that in 2001. TD, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I know he's a free agent at the end of the year, and I know they try to wait to do these things at the end of the year. I don't know if the Titans should just go ahead and back the Brinks truck up right now for Harold Landry, but he is playing at the level that I think we thought maybe one day he could get to. He's there right now.
Yeah, they need to back that truck up and go ahead and get something done, because if this guy hits the market, yikes. You know, you look at what Trey Hendrickson, you look at Carl Lawson, you know, these guys hit the market and you get those desperate teams like the Jets, Bengals, boom, they signed them. So, yeah, absolutely. And I think really it's just a matter of finally, like, he's getting home and finishing the deal now. And the pressures have always been there, right? The pressures, he's steadily been one of the best at generating pressure. But again, he's finishing the deal, and there's a lot of things that they have him do. Now, I'm disappointed in Harold Landry. 89% of the snaps he played. Now, I'm just joking. But, I mean, like this guy, that 89% of the snaps, that's like a low number for him. I mean, he's typically above not like 97, 98%. You know what I mean? So I jokingly said I was disappointed in him. But I think when you look at all of the things that he's doing, because he's not only a legit pass rusher, this dude is also very good against the run. How many times have you seen him knife inside one of those interior gaps? And you know, you're looking, and you see him get inside the gap and shoot in there and tackle the ball carrier in the backfield, right? You see him dropping into covers. There's all types. Now, with this package that they have, right, the quote-unquote NASCAR package, right? Autry and Dupree on the outside, Simmons on the interior, and Landry playing off the ball a little bit. These are things that you don't typically see a guy Landry's size do. But he's able to rush the passer from the interior and do it effectively. I think he is really an outstanding player this year. And it's good to finally see this guy, you know, just start to reward the investment, right, and start to show that he is able to live up to that potential.
Investment. I got an idea. I'm going to throw you a contract. You tell me if you think this would be a good deal or not. 4 years, $80 million. The first 2 years are guaranteed, and the third eventually guarantees.
How much guaranteed?
50.
I mean, 4 years, $80 million, that's something I would definitely sign if I was Harold Landry, without a doubt. And he is – how old is – Landry is what? 24. So he would be able to sign another deal. You know, he would be set up well to sign another deal if he executed that whole one before he turns 30. So, yeah, I mean, I would sign that deal for sure.
And obviously the option there, too, is the Titans have the tag. And I do think that – you know, like last year with Davis and Jonnu, we talked like, do you use the tag on Davis? Do you use the tag on Jonnu? I can't see the Titans letting this guy walk out the door. I cannot see them letting Landry walk out of the door for without, you know, slapping the tag on him. But, I mean, I look at what they're getting out of him and Bud Dupree, and I'm like, you know, you paid Bud all this money. And Bud, I tweeted this out when Bud got the sack of Mahomes on the first drive and strip sacked him. I'm like, that changes everything with this team. But if you're going to pay Bud all that money and Bud's going to do his thing and you want Landry to do his thing, I almost think you got to pay Landry similar to what you're paying Bud, because that's how much elite pass rushers cost.
Yeah, I think, you know, along those lines, but let's, you know, be clear about this. I think Bud Dupree is a more established presence, defensive presence, than Landry at this point. I feel that way. But, you know, the other thing with Dupree, because I know with him coming back from the injury, he hasn't been himself. But one of the things is, like, it's not a coincidence that suddenly Harold Landry is better. And this is something that we've talked to Landry about since training camp, just being able to have Bud Dupree there and go over situations, right? Being able to have Dupree as a guy who is a slasher, so he could loop around on those stunts and games that they do up front. Being able to establish a pass rushing culture. That was one thing I remember talking to Chuck Smith, who is like Dr. Pass Rush. Like, that's the guy that all of these pass rushers go to. Aziz Ojulari worked with. By the way, you saw he had 2.5 sacks last week? Yeah, well, you know. All jokes aside, that's one of the things that he said about having a pass rush culture and having somebody there that could have you execute the move and show you different moves rather than you just looking at an iPad, you know, and seeing those moves. It's all the better for a guy, you know, when you have someone else there showing that. So I think that's a different value that Bud Dupree brings. And then also, you know, just his presence against the run. I think overall, you know, Bud Dupree, in my opinion, is probably a top 10, you know, edge defender in this league, in my opinion.
So he's like, I think he was 82.5 total. And, you know, that's all funny money at the end of the day anyways.
Right, but 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years, 82. So, yeah, I would advise Harold to sign 4 years, 80, if that were the offer from the Titans. Okay, enough of me talking. TD, time for you and the people, 615-737-1025. Get your calls in, get your texts in for TD, 615-737-1025. TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys and by our friends at Crane Works and Rental Works. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, those are my guys. They take great care of my home. And every time I call Hiller out, if I've got an issue, they get the job done. That's why I'm so glad that I have great partners and great friends like the people at Hiller. You've noticed all the inventory shortages and empty shelves everywhere. Now, there are serious shortages on equipment and products for your home. HVAC systems and tankless water heaters and generators are going to be extremely limited this upcoming year in 2022. If you need a replacement, call my friends at Hiller today. Do not wait until you are out of options. Hiller has special financing available, so you buy now and you pay nothing until next year. So next year, when everybody else is going to try to buy generators and HVAC systems, they're not going to be able to because they've got the money to pay for it, but they can't. But it doesn't matter. You'll be paying, but you'll already have it. It's great. Hiller has special financing available. Buy now, pay nothing until next year, and their work is backed by the Happy You'll Be Your Services Free Guarantee. I love Hiller. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Learn more at happyhiller.com. Proud supporters of the Predators, the Tennessee Volunteers, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. TD is with us, the TD Power Hour, presented by Freedom Tire Guys and by Crane Works and Rental Works. Let's go. By the way, the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints kick off at 3:25 on 102.5 The Game. Let's get right to your questions for DD. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have?
Josh texts into the text line and says, "Hey, TD, what more do we need to see from the defense? I say more consistency and health, too."
Yeah, health is a big one. More consistency for sure. I think getting Christian Fulton back in a couple weeks, if that is going to happen, I think it's likely, that's going to make it even better. But I would say just consistency as a pass rush to continue to get home and impact the quarterback the way that they are, and also a continuation of the turnovers. Quietly, Kevin Byard is playing just as good as, if not better, than any safety in the league.
TD, how much of the defense's resurgence? I know Bud Dupree making that play last week was huge, but how much of the defense the last 2 weeks has been David Long Jr.? Because I feel like every time I look down, he's all over the place.
Now you're talking my kind of music right there. That guy, David Long, I'm telling you, it seems like over the last 3 or 4 weeks, it seems like once a game, I'm just like, man, this dude is just, he's good. You know, and he just is a natural. I love the way he's able to weave and maneuver himself around offensive linemen. He's not the biggest guy, but he's so hard to block. So, yeah, a lot of that is him, just a natural instinct, dropping back into coverage. You know, the film study that was very evident, right, when he had the punch out to lead to Rashawn Evans' interception. He knows that Patrick Mahomes likes to scramble to his right and has the ability to throw the ball across his body to the backside of the field. And a lot of that has led to a completion to Travis Kelce, and he gets a lot of yards after the catch. Not this week. Why? Because Long knew that, and he was able to get in that passing lane and punch the ball out. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of that goes to him, the third down improvement, the red zone improvement, just the ability that he has to play in space. It's just natural. And that was a really good pick. I mean, you know, everybody gets on John Robinson for the draft classes. But let me say this, that 2019, you know, draft class, obviously Brown and Simmons at the top. But, man, you look at the bottom of it, you know, day three, you know, day two, Monty Hooker, David Long, starters, day three pick. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to afford to keep all those guys when push comes to shove on that class. What we got next?
On the topic of the defense, another texter texts in and says, how soon could we expect a healthy Hooker in Fulton, or do the Titans need to make a move for a defensive back?
Yeah, the groin situation with Hooker, it's tough, man. That a groin is something that thing could stick with you, man. I stopped playing football 20 years ago, and I swear to you, sometimes I'll like roll over in my bed or have a certain type of movement, and I'm just like, oh, my God, it hurt. So it really just depends on how serious that groin injury is for Hooker. But watching him out there today, able to show range and just be able to go up and get the football and then just weave in some of those drills, I think he'll be fine. So I would imagine he'll play this week, and I would imagine he'll be back to normal. Now, Fulton, I'm not sure, because even though it's a series of injuries, right? He's had a foot, he's had a hamstring, you know. So I would imagine this time that he's had to kind of get away and not go through the rigors of practicing every day, I would imagine that has helped him. But I think at the earliest he'll be back for the Rams game. But I mean, I have no real finger to put on that one.
I'll say this, if Bud Dupree and Harold Landry want to play like they played last week, I don't care who's back there.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't mention Greg Maben's name once. You know what I mean?
No. So.
Slick texts in and says, do you see Darrington Evans ever being a real factor in this offense?
I think maybe in the screen game and, you know, when they go empty on third downs. But it's tough to call because, I mean, you talk about the screen game, Jeremy Nichols has been shining from that perspective. And he's been a third down guy. So it's one of those cases where, I don't know, man, the injuries have kind of gotten in the way for Evans. Now, obviously, with him being a high draft pick, they're going to want to get him out there. But long story short, I think that's still a work in progress.
I do wonder, though, like, I do wonder, we looked at it when they drafted Darrington Evans, and it was like, why you draft a backup running back when you got Derrick Henry? And it was like, well, you know, he's going to catch out of the backfield, and mm-hmm. you can't give the ball to Derrick 800 times. And I'm kind of like, maybe he can't give the ball to Derrick 800 times. You know, I mean, because the one problem with Evans is if you put Evans on the field, you're taking Henry off the field, obviously, but you're also taking McNichols off the field. And I think McNichols is a great third down back right now, what they're getting out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go that far and call him great, but he's solid. I think he is. He's solid. You know, he has that patience and the ability to read the man. Now, Kevin Faulk was a great third down back. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that, but I still think that he's solid and he's getting the job done. I feel that Evans, he gives them just a little more explosiveness out of that backfield, you know, catching the football, and he's a bit more of a natural. But, I mean, we're splitting hairs here because, you know, McNichols has gotten some big gains. And, I mean, converted, you know, third and 21, third and 22, you know, on the screen. So, obviously, you look at the Jets game, right? You know, obviously, he's definitely showing some ability there.
Ben texts in and says, TD over under 3.5 trades in the AFC South this week.
Well, Brandon Cook seems to be a little upset about one of them that has happened.
Yes, he
already
does.
I could see him possibly being on the move. Obviously, Deshaun Watson. I don't think the Jaguars are going to be sellers. So I'm going to go under. I think two trades at the most would be what you see. I'm going to go under.
I think the big question here about, you know, the trades is, what about the big one? You think the big one gets done, Deshaun?
It's just so many layers to that, man, that I don't even want to get
so
into.
So many layers.
And none of them are good.
Yeah.
I mean, John McClain, like, I think everybody knows John McClain's reputation as far as reporting stuff like this is as, you know, solid as it comes. So much so that Floyd one time lied to John McClain and put together a fake Cody Carlson contract because he wanted to show up John McClain, a story that John liked telling every time he was around Floyd. But if John McClain says the deal's done as long as Deshaun Watson settles, because that's what the owner of the Dolphins wants, I mean, and then Deshaun doesn't want to settle, I'm like, that seems like a much bigger discussion than, like, hey, what do we think here on the football channel? You know,
yeah,
like, it's.
Yeah, there's a lot. I don't even want to get into that whole, you know what I mean? I want to give the folks time to talk Titans, but, you know, there's a lot to it. I'll put it that way.
I'll say this, though. The one thing I will say, when I see that David Tepper says I'm out, that tells me I think it's getting done. That's the one thing that I feel like, okay, that deal's done. If Tepper says he's out in Carolina, then maybe it gets done. What else we got?
Belvis texts in and says, TD, I'm hearing rumors that the Titans are going after Fletcher Cox. Have you heard that?
I haven't. That's a big contract to absorb. Mm-hmm. And Fletcher Cox, like, Howie Roseman loves that dude. So I don't know that's a trade that would happen, to be honest with you.
I wondered, the Athletic put together all these different trade targets and things like that, and I just don't think the trade deadline in the NFL matters, like people make it out to matter.
It's not the same.
But I think the one that would make sense to me, and I wouldn't give up anything good for it, but I think Hayden Hurst in Atlanta, because he kind of knows your offense playing for Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
But then I looked today, and I saw Atlanta is very much in the playoff hunt at 3-3 in the NFC, which is incredible to think about, and I think a tribute to Arthur and Dean of what they've been able to accomplish in such a short period of time. But that would be the one that I would consider as a tight end who can be a starting tight end who knows what you do or has an idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's an option. I don't know that they really have to make a deal, you know, frankly, for a tight end.
Another texter texts in and says, with the Panthers slipping, could Gilmore be had for a better draft pick than they gave up?
I don't think that they trade Gilmore, to be honest. I mean, I would imagine you could always, you know, pick up the phone and orchestrate a deal, but I don't see that happening either. I personally think that Gilmore wants to stay there in Carolina. In fact, you know, that's right where he's from. You know, obviously South Carolina as opposed to North Carolina, but still, you know, I don't think that trade happens either.
TD, as always, we appreciate you. Go check out TD's Twitter, where he breaks down not only just one, two for Whiteboard Wednesday, part two for Titans Colts, or at least, and it's the package, the NASCAR defense package TD breaks down on Whiteboard Wednesday, plus Talking with TD podcast available, and TD will be on Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning. TD, always appreciate you, even though you sometimes have to give it to Chris Sanders like we all have to give it to Chris Sanders.
Run TMC. That's always fun, man, Chris Sanders. Yeah, I appreciate you both for having me on. we'll get this going next week, man, and we'll see what happens this Sunday.
Sounds good, TD. As always, Teron Davenport, and he will be joining us on the pregame show as well on Sunday from Indianapolis, where TD will be getting you set for Titans and Colts. Coming up next, Caroline has a bone to pick with A, the Indianapolis media, and B, if I'm reading this correctly, Frank Reich?
Yes.
Caroline's got a bone to pick with the Indianapolis media and Frank Reich. We will touch on that coming up next. It's family time in Smashville this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena with 1230 Hockey. The spooky Smashville family pack includes 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, and 4 free skate passes at the Ford Ice Center. For the first 5,000 kids who arrive on Halloween, they'll get a tote for trick or treating inside the arena. Prices start at $129. See you in Smashville. Get tickets today at nationalpredators.com/familypack.